Zacchaeus, come quickly. I must stay at your house, our Lord said. And Luke tells us that Zacchaeus came down and they began to walk home. In praying and pondering this reading this week, I wondered, was there anybody else at Zacchaeus' home? Was he married, perhaps? Did he have children? Luke doesn't record that because Luke is focusing on our Lord. But I wonder, you see, Zacchaeus doesn't call ahead or text or send an email saying, I'm bringing a guest home. Now, growing up, if I or my sisters or my dad had done that, deep trouble we would have been in. Whenever we had guests at our house, Mom made sure that all the everyday dishes were washed, dried, and put away, and the good dishes were brought out. Mom made sure that the ordinary everyday tablecloth was taken and put in the laundry, and the really good one was also laid out. Mom insisted that the house be cleaned, that all the toys be picked up and put away, that our rooms be tidied up, our beds made, and everything was made ready for our guests. If it was spring or summer or early fall, the outside had to be impeccably clean also. We wouldn't dare invite anybody in without that, because it would violate my mom's sense of hospitality. But Jesus goes with Zacchaeus. He doesn't tell anybody he's coming home. Was the house messy? Were things out of place? If Zacchaeus had children, were they ready to greet a guest? Or were they just like kids normally are when they're outside playing all day? Wonder what it was like. Did somebody say to Zacchaeus what my mom would have said to us? What are you thinking? You know, I wonder. I wonder for a moment, and only for a moment, friends, because our Lord didn't care in the least how messy that house would have been. The Lord was willing to enter Zacchaeus' house just as he was. And you know why? Because he sees a greater messiness, a messiness on the inside of Zacchaeus. And that's where he wants to come to. He wants to enter the messiness of his life. There were some public things about Zacchaeus' life. His messiness was well known. He was a tax collector, which also meant he was a thief. He collected taxes. He collected his profit, and then he stole so he could collect more. Luke says he was a wealthy man. He was also a traitor. The taxes he was collecting was for the Roman government, who was the oppressor at that time. He's a traitor. He's an outcast. Nobody wants anything to do with him. He's the worst of the worst. Because he's the chief tax collector. They give him the title sinner. And they say, we'll have nothing to do with you. We won't talk. We won't invite. We won't come over. We want nothing to do with you. Having heard those condemnations for years, Zacchaeus knows what's going on the inside. Everybody else knows what's going on the inside, and so does Jesus too. I wonder if Zacchaeus wondered, what's he really think of me? Is his opinion like everybody else's? Friends, what Zacchaeus will find out is that Jesus saw something different. Our Lord always sees the good in people. And he looked at Zacchaeus, and deep inside he saw a hurting heart. And that's what he was drawn toward. He saw a man hungry, in lots of ways, hungry to be loved, hungry to be forgiven. Many other hungers too. Jesus looked at Zacchaeus and he says, you are the object of my desire. I want to come to your house. Not just the place where you live, but I want to come inside and I want to move in completely. And Zacchaeus let him. Zacchaeus welcomed the Lord inside. And you know what he encountered? You know what Zacchaeus experienced as the Lord was welcomed inside? He had a hint in the conversation, but now he begins to know. And what he starts to know is we've got a God who is very loving and very patient with sinners. Something begins to happen, and it's something beyond words, and it's something that runs deep. There's a period of time while the Lord is with Zacchaeus. As his love is being welcomed inside, there's some changes starting to go on. Zacchaeus begins to believe that forgiveness is a possibility. And in fact, the Lord does forgive his sins. Zacchaeus had built up all kinds of walls and barriers to protect himself from others, walls and barriers to keep people out, walls and barriers to keep the Lord out too. And in the face of God's love, they begin to crumble. Zacchaeus saw obstacles, things in the way of his relationship with Jesus, with God the Father and others. And those two, one by one, the Lord begins to remove. In the face of God's love, Zacchaeus' self-worth is restored. In the face of God's love, his dignity is put back in place too. Awesome experience that is. And as a result of that, Zacchaeus begins to look out. And he says, I've got some restoring to do out there too, Lord. I've hurt people and I've broken relationships. It's time to restore them. If I've stolen anything, I'm going to give it back, and then I'll pay the person back four times what I owe. And I'm not going to do it so it'll look good. I'm doing it because I want to restore the relationship. He sells things, gives away half of what he belongs. You see, Zacchaeus no longer depended on his things for his wealth. He was short on the outside, so he fills his life with all kinds of things so he can look big to other people. And Zacchaeus says, I don't have to rely on that anymore. Jesus, I'm relying on you and this love and mercy that you have shown. So he sells things and starts giving away to the poor. That's mercy. And that's Zacchaeus' experience of mercy. And I'm inviting you, and Father Howe have been inviting you and other holy namers to take a look at mercy again, to revisit it. Can you welcome Christ into your life that way? Can you welcome him into the messiness of your life? When we used to clean the house, getting ready for guests to come, thank heaven my mom or our guests never looked under the bed or in the closets. The dirt was still there. And I tell you that for a deeper reason. Can you allow the Lord to see the messiness in your life? Are you holding back? Because you don't have to. If you're holding back, I invite you to read by yourself and pray with yourself from the Book of Wisdom, from the 11th chapter, beginning with the 22nd verse. The author of Wisdom says, the Lord holds the whole universe. To him, it's like a piece of grain. Or to him, The universe is like a drop of water that comes out in the morning. But, however, the Lord has mercy on all. Why? He can. He's God, and he can do all things. The author goes on to say that God loves all things that he has created. If he hates anything, he wouldn't create it. That means we are all lovable in this church. And every human being walking the face of the earth is lovable. The book goes on to say, he loathes nothing that he has created. More importantly, you too are the object of the desire of God's love. Love is always willing the good of another. And the Lord looks into your heart and mine, and he desires the good of all of us. Can you let him love you that much? Don't let anything stand in the way. Some let their mistakes stand in the way, those big mistakes that they make. There's some people that'll hold on to those mistakes for a long time, and they'll hold on to the guilt that comes with it. There's no need to do that. All that does is stop you from loving. Others of us struggle with those day-to-day mistakes, those sins that we seem to repeat over and over again. And we can sometimes wonder, will God love me even though I keep doing this? Or when I can't stop doing that? The answer is absolutely, he can. All of us promise to do better. We promise to improve our lives, especially when we celebrate the sacrament of reconciliation and pray an act of contrition from our heart. Lord, I promise to do better, to avoid sin. And you know what? We all blow it, and the Lord knows it. Don't let that stop you from allowing the Lord in. Because this book says he is relentlessly pursuing us. You are worth it. You are worth it. That kind of a God I can welcome into my life, knowing he sees what he sees, good and bad, and he loves it all, virtue and sin, and he loves it all, success and failure, and I'm still loved, and so are you. Finally, the author says there might be times that he rebukes us. There might be other times that he warns us of choices we're about to make and the possible consequences. Sometimes he reminds us of the past, not to make us feel bad, but so that we'll abandon those old ways and rely totally on the Lord. Mercy revisited. Let's pray for the grace to say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come to me like you came to Zacchaeus. You are welcome in. Let's pray for the grace to stand before the Lord in the sacrament of reconciliation and say, Lord, I'm here because you invited me. And what you see is what you get. And I am sorry. And I trust in your mercy. And mercy is what will be given. From the cross, Jesus says, Father, forgive him. He doesn't know what he's doing. Father, forgive her. She doesn't know what she's doing. What wonderful good news that our Lord enters the messiness of us and comes only with love and with mercy.